Today on Real Radio.
Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily, they continued, with one accord, that is not in a Honda, but with one mind, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity. That's a physical event. Isn't it beautiful? Fellowship.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Acts. And although we typically journey verse by verse through Scripture, our teacher is delivering a mini-series taken from the second chapter of this New Testament narrative called Why Should I? You see, there's a brief part in this passage that covers many essentials of the life of the individual believer, and so we can derive answers to questions like, why should I fellowship? Why should I tithe? And issues of that nature. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called, Why Should I Fellowship?
A parent loves their child. That's an emotional event. Anyone alive has emotional events. A relationship with God must have emotion in it. Sometimes we're guilty, and I've been guilty of this, and God convicts me every time. You know, especially again, as I mentioned in the introduction, Calvary Chapel is so known around the world for Bible teaching, and we're so bent on having it right. And that's a good thing. But you know what? We can be so bent on being right that we become dead right. And we leave out the move of the Holy Spirit in fellowship. We better be careful. We better know and do the Bible in its entirety. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 9, Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 9 says, and a certain man, I love that. Whenever you see a certain woman or a certain man or a certain place, that means something big's going to happen in the Bible. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, that's a long time, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Acts chapter 3, verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Hey, you know, can you give me an apple? Can you give me a buck? That's what he's asking for. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them their attention. His attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So watch verse 8. So he, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, fellowship, walking, leaping, and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Perfect example of the church. Crippled in sin, raised in newness of life, enthusiastic about it, go to worship, and everybody notices. Isn't that a great little picture? Let me ask you this. Gee, I wonder if that guy after church, he went into the temple. After the temple service, what do you think that guy, do you think that guy was ever enthusiastic anymore about God? Come on. What has God done in your life? Oh, I don't know. A little bit of this, I guess, a little bit of this. You know what? I want to argue with you this morning. I think God took us by the hand, raised us up. And what do? Well, you know, God's great. It's okay for our fellowship to be active, and it's okay for it to be emotional. This man, and I don't mean emotional out of control, but yes, you know, we were singing that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, have you noticed yes? How do you say yes without a natural formation of a smile? Watch how no. Like Peter was really good at this. No, Lord. No, Lord, he would say, which is funny. He can't be Lord if you're telling him no. No, Lord. It doesn't work. It's always yes, Lord. I love how yes suggests a smile. Yes, Lord. It's fellowship with God, doing. And this man came out of the temple leaping and praising just like he went in, I'm sure. See, Pastor, are you saying that we should run around, leap and jump and work? No, no. But that should be in our hearts all the time. Frankly, honestly, God's my judge. When we come together in worship, I have to remind myself, this is me personally, it's just me. When we're together, I have to remind myself to not get in front of you with the Lord like I am with the Lord privately. What I do with God privately is none of your business. And I'm glad, because you know what? You would not want to hear me sing real loud. You would not like to see me get on my face, on the ground. You don't need to know that I have a prayer shawl that I love. And well, I had it. It's now at the bottom of the foundation of the building. But anyway, I'll get a new one. But before God alone, not in front of you, I'll put that over my head and I'll sing songs to God. And you go, Jack, you're nuts. Yes, I am for the Lord, but you'll never see it. That's private. Why? Because we're emotional people. He's created us that way. Passion. I think this man coming out of the temple had passion. Third consideration under this point is it's a physical event. I mean, look at us right here. It's a physical event. What is spiritual fellowship? It is, thirdly, a physical event. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily, they continued, with one accord, that is not in a Honda, but with one mind, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity. That's a physical event. Isn't it beautiful? Fellowship. Listen, I mean this. And I've stressed it before, but I'm going to say it again because it fits. We desire that you might have fellowship one with another as a church. We think of things to get that to happen. Guess who's coming to dinner? We have the church baptism. We have the church picnic. And again, I've said it and I'll say it again. The church has been created and designed in such a way that we're moving to that it, what has driven the design of the church is fellowship opportunity. You will have to go to the courtyard because it's so pretty. And you want a fellowship. Coffee and stuff will be served in that area. Why? Because we want to sell coffee? No. Because we want to sell tea or juices? No. Go to Albertsons. Why are we doing that? So you'll fellowship. Fellowship. This church wants to create, if I, you know, almost want to ask forgiveness before I say it. This church wants to create reasons why you should hang out and fellowship with each other. We want to develop excuses why you don't want to just get out of the sanctuary, grab your kids, and get home. We want to have a place where you want to stay, fellowship, be with each other. That's important. Why? It's a physical event as well. We must be in fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. In other words, don't give up on fellowship and don't give up on church, as is the manner of some. But exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Every day we're closer to the return of Jesus. We should be calling people up. Listen, friends, do you have friends? Or do friends call you and say, hey, you going to church tomorrow? We should start doing that with each other. Do you know anybody in this church? Do you know anybody maybe who's not going to church? Call them up. Hey, you want to go to church tomorrow? Come on, bribe them in the Lord. I'll take you to breakfast if you come. Point number two, boy, am I in trouble. We need to pray. Point number two, the fellowship factor regarding this is, why is spiritual fellowship so important? Why is it so important? Point number two, why is spiritual fellowship important? Well, because of who we are. That's why it's important. We are redeemed sinners by the grace of God, purchased by Jesus Christ out of this world. Can I have an amen to that? Yeah, thank you much, because that is so true. Listen to this. And this verse. Write it down. Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Yeah. Well, I'm not done. Keep going. Here it comes. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace. Why? We ain't got any on our own. Who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring us into his family. You know what? We're not the same people. It's who we are now. Why is spiritual fellowship so important? The number one reason is because of who we are now. That's why you bring a person here to church who's not a Christian. They think you're nuts. What's the deal? I'm bored. When's this guy going to put a sock in his mouth? What's with these songs? These are funny songs. Strange. They don't get it. Why? Because the wall of separation's up. And they have no fellowship with God. You, on the other hand, you're different. I'm different. We've been changed. It's because of who we are now. We're different people. Here's a fantastic verse. Write it down. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5 says, and it's from Jesus, the faithful witness, the first from the dead or firstborn, the preeminent one from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. We're brand new people because of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. Why is spiritual fellowship important? Because of who we are now. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you have been bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. By the way, quickly this. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, when he says, you've been bought with a price, so then do not become slaves of men. Every person is a slave of man until they realize in their walk with God that they've been bought with a price. You want to know why? Because when you realize, Christian, that you've been bought with a price, you will no longer allow yourself to be enslaved to any man. And all the women said, amen. Any one of us. Does somebody bully us? Does somebody else have us under their thumb, so to speak? Do we go into this situation or into that relationship as Christians now? And we jump to their drum or we, no. Listen, when we realize we've been bought with a price and that price that was offered up was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will not become slaves to any man on earth. Any one of us at any time. Keep that in mind. Who we are in Jesus Christ is so absolutely important. Why is spiritual fellowship important? Number two consideration, because of what we are. What we are now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, why is church important? Why is fellowship important? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are God's chosen generation. That's you and me, people. A royal priesthood, really? Yep, every one of us. Remember, this message is going out right now to those of us here in this church right now. It's to prepare us, Peter's telling us, to be royal priests. A holy nation, his own special people, peculiar is the word, that you may proclaim the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Where does that happen? In the world, in church, among one another, who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's us. That's who and what we are now. What we are now is this, Revelation 21:5. Am I going too fast, you guys? I'm watching that clock go by. I'm trying to hurry. Sorry. Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." So, well, how does that apply to me? If I'm a Christian, how does that apply to me? In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," can I see just for effect, those of you who raised your hands earlier, you're Christians, let's see one more time. Did you know? Listen, if you're a Christian, it means that you know what it means to be in Christ. That's the code word. Only those who are Christians know what in Christ means. A lot of people say they're believers. Oh, are you a Christian? Yep. Then ask somebody if you have doubts about who or what they know of God. Say, well, are you in Christ? Well, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who we are in Christ. New creations. Third consideration under this second point. Why is spiritual fellowship important? Because of where we are now. Not just this physical spot. I'm not talking about that. But because of where we are now. Where, meaning our heavenly seating. We've got the Bible tells us that we have a place reserved in heaven for us. Did you know that? Where we are. Did you know that right now we are spiritual people and that we have a citizenship in heaven? Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Here's an awesome verse. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together," and listen to this, people, "and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ." Right now, it's a funny thing. You're sitting here. You're here. But did you know? Only through God there is a place in heaven that is reserved for you, but according to the mind of God, it is as though you're already there. Isn't that weird? I love that. Some of you own more than one home. Some of you own more than two homes. Both of those addresses, all of those addresses belong to you. Your name is on all of them. But because right now we're on this side, your geographical location is pinpointed to a certain place. But legally, in the realm of the law, according to the world and ownership, doesn't your power and your presence and your authority exist at each of those addresses? Absolutely. Geographically, we're here. Spiritually, where is our residence? It's both here, yes, and in heaven. Man, we need to be thinking about that more and more. We are both here and there, and it's the same thing. In the heavenly places, in the heavenlies, not just the atmosphere, but in the heavenlies. Did you guys see the news? The shuttle took off and it made history. I mean, they said it made history. When I heard that on the news, I had shared it with a few brothers. They're all hooting and hollering that the shuttle went up and it carried the first Israeli into space. Did you know that? There's a Jewish astronaut up there circling the globe. And they said, it's the first Israeli in space. That's not true. That's not true. Enoch was taken up. And Elijah, he was taken up. At best, this guy's the third astronaut in space that's an Israeli. But when I heard that, I just prayed, Lord, I don't know if he knows you or not, but save him. When he looks out that window out of the space station and looks at the Earth, or looks at the universe, save him! Why? It's kind of cool. And he's just a little bit closer to the heavenlies. Well, what an amazing thing. Here's a guy who has a residence in Israel, but he's flying around the globe. He's got concerns in Israel, and he's got concerns in the space station. Kind of like the believer, huh? We live here, we have our concerns. But we have an address in heaven. Our citizenship, the Bible tells us, is in heaven. Third point. Point number three, the fellowship factor regarding our fellowship with God and why that's important is when. When is spiritual fellowship encountered? When is it encountered? When we pray. Jot that down, would you? When we pray. That's an encounter. It's spiritual. That is when we pray in private, just you and the Lord and no one else around and all of the world. That's a spiritual encounter. That's spiritual fellowship. When we pray. By the way, when we pray together, I love it. We prayed a moment ago together. That's biblical. And that is fellowship. Then maybe in a corporate prayer where the body generally comes together and prays. Or the church, the national day of prayer. What's going to happen? In the spirit, there will be a supernatural unity of God that only God can accomplish across time zones throughout America, where there's a corporate gathering of prayer. And that, my friend, is spiritual fellowship encountered. And when does that happen? Whenever we pray. When God's people come together and pray, you can expect the Holy Spirit to move. Boy, that's a powerful thing. The Lord's delivering into our hands a college and career pastor. And that's an awesome thing. And Eve Lejoie of the Cry, I told you this before. He's been praying, we've been praying together for a long time about God bringing this together. And God has touched Christy's heart and Eve's heart and Jean-Luc's heart's being touched. So we laid these things out. Lord, we've been praying. They got to be able to sell their home. And now listen, you say, well, anybody sells out. Yeah, listen, they got to move from the coast to here. That's an act of God. I could see God say, Jack, get out of that place and go to the coast. Yes, Lord. They're going to leave the coast and come here. Well, God's got to sell their house. Got to be for the right price. Then they got to find a place. Got to be the right price. What do you think God did? He not only did all that, but the house that they found that they liked, it belongs to somebody here at this church. God moving, God working, and then touching hearts. His heart and his wife's heart and his brother, Jean-Luc and Eve of the Cry. It was important to them that their hearts be touched together.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called, Why Should I Fellowship? A study taken from this New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll hear more of this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. This presentation is actually part of a series within a series as we journey through this New Testament narrative called Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. The mini-series itself is called, Why Should I? It answers questions that have to do with the life of the believer. Why should I fellowship? Why should I tithe? And issues of that nature. Well, there's also something else we'd like you to know regarding this Why Should I series. We're making it available to you all on one MP3 CD. And for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send it to you. Let me say that again. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD. In fact, you can read more about it if you'd like simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.